Once more, I invite you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. We will be looking at verses 28 through 30. But let's put on our memory hats, as my Sunday school teacher used to say, and think for a moment what has gotten us to here. We begin in Peter's epistle, and Peter told us to cast our cares upon the Lord. Why? He cares for you. Jesus cares for you. Cast all your cares upon Him. Last week we looked at two sisters, Mary and Martha. Martha had lots of cares, and she was upset that Jesus wasn't really going to make Mary help her. But Jesus gives her the corrective. Martha, you're worried and troubled about a lot of temporal things. Mary, however, has chosen the eternal thing. She is sitting at my feet. Sometimes you'd be better off just sitting at Jesus' feet than running around like a chicken with your head cut off trying to solve your daily problems. And I'm talking about the temporal things. If we're talking about spiritual issues, we're on a different plane there. But the little things, what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to wear, where am I going to go, what time am I going to get there, spending time at the feet of Jesus. We'll uncover or unveil, we'll talk a little bit more about that from our passage this morning. We're still sticking with this concept, with this idea of giving Jesus all of our troubles. I heard it said this week, and I'm so glad somebody else at least thinks this way. None of your troubles are unique. They're unique to you, but they're not unique to this world. You aren't that special. You have heard that your whole life growing up. Oh, you're so special. You're so different. You're so unique. Listen, there are people on the path ahead of you dealing with what you're facing. There are people on the path behind you that are going to be dealing with what you're dealing with. And it doesn't matter if you're advanced on the path or if you're behind coming up, the answer is still going to be turn to Jesus. And you don't have such a unique situation that Jesus isn't going to be your answer. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, Jesus is who we turn to. Why? Because Jesus cares for you. Don't forget, if you remember nothing else from what we looked in Peter, He cares for you. The devil doesn't care for you. Sin doesn't care for you. And you catch the rest of us on a bad day, and we're going to sound like we don't care for you. Let's just be honest. Church is messy. Sometimes the sheep feel grumpy. Sometimes the sheep are sick. Sometimes the sheep are a lot of things. And so sometimes you may go to a church member and you're like, man, they didn't help me feel any good. They got bad days too. Jesus is our hope. Jesus is the one that we turn to. And we need to remember, like Martha was supposed to learn, that there are things that are eternal. And if we're worrying about things that are temporal, they're really not worth your effort. If you're spending a lot of time worrying about that, I'll even be so bold as to say this, you're wasting your time. If your time is not profitable, then you're wasting it. And according to Paul in Ephesians, we're supposed to redeem the time. We're supposed to do the best we can with the time. As we look this morning, the call is not going to be any different. Jesus is still going to be the answer. But Jesus is speaking here in verse 28, and Jesus says, come to me. All that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Out of the box in this passage, I want to see you're trading one burden for another. You're trading one yoke for another. You're going to take the yoke that you're under, the burden that you're under, and you're going to set it down, and you're going to take up Jesus' yoke. You're going to take up Jesus' burden, not forgetting what we learned in Peter. He cares for me. What do you mean? If I got to switch one burden for another, I might as well just keep what I know, right? I mean, that's what a lot of people think. It's better the devil I know, right? That's not it at all. If you haven't been successful in unloading your burden and getting out from underneath the toil and the labor that you're in, Jesus' yoke is going to be better. In fact, we're going to look at this in more detail. He says, my burden is light, my yoke is easy. I don't know about you, but I'm not willing to call Jesus a liar. If he says his yoke is light and his burden is easy, what is it? It's light and easy, but I can promise you this. The yoke and the bondage of sin and self are not good. They are not taskmasters that will serve you well. You will find out that if you're serving sin and self, it is going to take life from you. We're going to look in this in a lot greater detail, but I want you to notice who Jesus' call is to. All you that labor and are heavy laden. Now, why doesn't Jesus call everybody? Well, there are lots of people out there, but they don't think they're labored. They don't think they've got heavy burdens. Why would they be interested in what Jesus has to offer? You know this practically. I could set up a lemonade stand on the corner. All ye who thirsty, stop in and get some free lemonade. Setting aside a lot of what ifs, if a person simply isn't thirsty, do you think they're going to stop? I know this to be true. You pass lots of gas stations on your way to church, on your way to work, on your way to go shopping. Why don't you stop at every gas station? It's not a trick question. You don't need gas if you're not thirsty. Why would you stop and drink? Makes sense to me. I walk past the water faucet in my house all the time. I got a glass sitting right there. I don't stop and use it every time I go by. And the reason why is I'm not thirsty. When I'm thirsty, I get my glass, I get water. If I'm not thirsty, it sits there and waits for me to get thirsty. Jesus puts his call out, though, to those who are already under a burden, those who are already under a yoke. And he says, come to me, all you that are laboring and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He will give you rest. So this morning, if you're sitting there thinking, well, I don't have any problems. I don't have any troubles. I don't have a burden. I don't feel the strain of a yoke. I don't have any issues. This will go right past you. And we know that's true because it went past the Pharisees. Generally speaking, they don't come to Jesus and unload their burdens and yokes. And they had a burden that no man could bear. They're under the law, which no man is able to bear. And none of them came to Jesus. But if you were here this morning and if you were to tell me, Brother Luke, I got burdens. Brother Luke, it feels like I've got a yoke on me. Do I need to remind us what a yoke is? Because this is like so 2 centuries ago. Yoke is what you saw in Little House on the Prairie when they would have 2 oxen plowing next to each other. It's made out of wood. And together they push against that oak yoke so that they can drag that plow. Can't feel great around your neck. And so that's the idea here. It would have been very, very prevalent in their society. Some of these people going to see Jesus, they may have seen some oxen plowing in the field on their way over there. But Jesus is using terminology that would have been relevant to them. They would have readily understood this. And so in my mind, what you need to see is you are in a yoke. You are pulling a plow. You are pushing against something while you're pulling that plow. The question is it painful? Is it uncomfortable? Does it make you nervous? Does it make you angry? Does it make you sad? Does it wear you out? I know none of you have family that wears you out. None of you have friends that you're like, if they bring that up again, I'm just going to scream. Well, am I right?
Yep.
Jesus is calling those. So if this fits you, you say, but what about my particular burden? Notice Jesus doesn't limit it. Come to me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden, that are toiling and wearing a heavy burden. So if you meet that description, Jesus says, come to him. He didn't say, come to the church house. He didn't say, go to the hospital. He didn't say, go talk to the preacher. He didn't say, ask AI. And can we eliminate all of the other things he didn't say? Well, it's very simple. Jesus told us where to go. Jesus said, come to me. Jesus is our hope. And a slight add-on here, even if you think you don't have burdens, if you've never trusted in Christ as Savior, you got one that you're not even aware you're carrying. You're carrying a yoke, you're carrying a burden unlike anything that you could ever be aware of. I'd like to read to you a little quote from, Thought It's a Wonderful Life. Should have wrote down the name of the story here. I like Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol, because there are some statements from it that are just poignant. So for those of you who know this, Jacob Marley comes to Scrooge, and Jacob Marley says to him, you are fettered. Scrooge says to Marley, you are fettered. Tell me why. Marley replies, I wear the chain I forged in life, replied the ghost. I made it link by link and yard by yard. I guided it on my own free will, and of my own free will I wore it. Is its pattern strange to you? Scrooge trembled more and more. Or would you know, pursued the ghost, the weight and length of the strong coil you bear yourself? It was full as heavy as long as this. 7 Christmas Eves ago, you have labored on it since. It is a ponderous chain. Scrooge glanced about him on the floor in the expectation of finding himself surrounded by some 50 or 60 fathoms of iron cable, but could see nothing. Now, I realize it's a story. I realize it's a little book, but it is the illustration. You may not even be aware of the yoke you're wearing, but you are. Now, you've got one of two yokes. You're either yoked with Jesus or you're yoked with sin and self. That's your only two options. And even if you think you're okay, if you're not yoked with Jesus, you wear a heavy burden. Sooner or later, it will catch up with you. To those who are aware of what you're going through, I think you would be willing to agree with me by now. Sin is a horrible taskmaster to serve. Since when has sin ever done something good for you that didn't cost you more when the payment came due? Since when has Satan ever kept his word to you or to anyone else? You shall not die, he told Eve. They did. So has everybody since. If we talk about sin as a taskmaster, do the words proud, arrogant, severe sound familiar? That's what sin is. Sin is arrogant. It is proud and it is severe. And it does cost us greatly. In fact, I have no doubt most of you in here would simply agree with this. There are things that you have done in your past that, number one, you'd like to forget about, but number two, had you known the fallout before you ever put your finger in the light socket, you never would have. When David sinned with Bathsheba, he had no ability to fathom the cost that was about to happen to his family. And it was severe. His pride and arrogance showed up when Nathan the prophet came to him and told him the story. And David said, the man that did this thing should die. And then Nathan pointed his finger at David and said, you're the man, David. Uh-oh. Sin is everything Jesus is not. Let that sink in. Sin is everything Jesus is not. Jesus is meek and lowly. Jesus is gentle and humble. Jesus' yoke and burden is light and easy. Sin is rough and proud. Sin is severe and arrogant. And as I said, you do wear a yoke, for the Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not a one of us have not sinned. And you might be of the arrogant kind, looking around and say, well, I didn't do what they did. But there are others looking and saying, man, Lord, forgive me for what I've done. It's a different yoke that's being worn there. Because on the yoke of Jesus, there is no room for arrogance or pride. That's the yoke of sin and self. Oh, but I didn't do what they did. Fascinating thing, we're all going to stand before Jesus. And Jesus is going to open books. And the believers are going to be judged according to their works. The lost are going to be judged according to their works, whether they go to heaven or not. And according to the Bible, everything they have done is recorded in books. Everybody's going to know what everybody's done. Oh yeah, let the silence sink in. That scares me sometimes. Hey, kids, let's take the pressure off of you, friend. Everybody's got this thought about what the pastor is and Brother Luke. Right? Hey, we got our perceptions. Now, some of you be like, yeah, but I know he's just a human, so there's bound to be something that he's screwed up once. Once. I wish it was only once. But when I stand before my Lord and all of my works, some are wood, hay, and stubble, some are precious gold and jewels, but for the fact that everybody gets to see my wood, hay, and stubble, I don't want you to know that I got chinks in my armor. I don't want you to know that sometimes I blow my top or that I might struggle with certain things, because we don't want people to know that sometimes I'm made of flesh. Newsflash, we're all flesh and blood. And it doesn't matter if I'm a pastor, it doesn't matter if you're a pew sitter. We all bleed the same. And all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not a one of us can actually say, no, Jesus, I don't need you, because the yoke I've got I can handle. You can't. The wages of sin is death. But to the person who recognizes you're not getting anywhere with what you got, you're spinning your wheels. You realize that you are adding to your chain, so to speak. You're adding to your burden. You're adding to your yoke. Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. Notice he didn't say memorize a verse. That's coming later. Come to Jesus. Your first step is simply to go to Jesus. What do I say to him? Oh, you. I can tell you what I might would say to him, but I'm not you. You go to Jesus and you tell him where you're at. Why are you nervous about that? We already know from Peter that he what? Like I already told you like 3 or 4 times this morning. He cares for you. Why would I be afraid to go to Jesus and say, oh, I can't bear this burden anymore? In fact, I should be like, Jesus, I'm here. I heard the preacher say, and I read it in your word, you care for me. Take my burden, Lord. You should not be embarrassed to go to Jesus. He cares for you. He died for you. He will give you rest. He will refresh you. And that the idea here, rest, think of it in this term. When you rest really good overnight, in the morning we say you wake up refreshed. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Did that ring a bell? Yeah, because you rested well and you wake up ready to seize the day. And if you didn't rest well, are you trying to prop them open? The cat just walks by you and you yell at it for no reason. You didn't wake up refreshed. You're still stuck on whatever had you burdened yesterday. That's the idea. When he gives you rest, he is going to strengthen you. He is going to encourage you. He is going to give you everything that sin promised it would give you but cannot. Jesus will give you refreshment. Can you imagine? You're thirsty and you pull up to a lemonade stand and they don't have any? Your car needs gas. You whip into the gas station because you're not sure you can go another mile. And they're out. You know, you pull up and the yellow bags are on the handles. not good. That's sin. But Jesus never runs out. Jesus says, come to me and I will refresh you. Now again, I told you, we're replacing one yoke with another because Jesus says, when you come to me, I will give you rest. Then in verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you. And it's a command. The word come is a command. The word take here is a command. Take my yoke upon you. You can't wear two yokes at one time, which means to pick up Jesus' yoke, you got to lay down the other one. But you see, some of you, you don't know anything else. You've been doing the same thing for so long, you have grown accustomed to your yoke. And the idea of taking up a new yoke scares you. It troubles you because it will change your life. So it led somebody somewhere way smarter than me to make up this statement. You will stay the same until the pain of change is less than the pain of staying the same. Some of you, you're not going to go to the doctor until you can't handle the pain anymore. That's when you go see him. That's when change can happen. Am I right, Dr. Ted? That's what happens. People put off going to see the heart doctor till, oh, seeing you is less than what I'm struggling with. And many people are going to stay that way. You will stay with the yoke of sin. You will stay with your yoke of bondage because you really don't know anything else. But listen to Jesus. What is he saying? My yoke is light. My yoke is easy. I will refresh you. I will pick you up. Everything that has been crushing you down, Jesus said, I'm going to do the opposite. Lay your burden down and take mine up. And I wish I could lead a horse to water and make him drink. Now here's the fleshly side of me. There's some horses I'd hold their head underwater for a while. You're going to get this. You're going to get it if I got to make you get it. But that's not what he says. You take up my yoke. You take up my burden. And I'm going to appeal to you. Take Jesus' burden up. It's light. It's easy. And it doesn't have the consequences of sin. In fact, he frees you from guilt. He frees you from shame. He frees you from all of those feelings that bind you up inside. Jesus gives you freedom to laugh, to love, and sometimes, yes, even to cry. But he gives you the freedom that sin takes from you. Take his yoke upon you. So at this point in the middle of my notes, I simply ask you, are you tired of the way you've been? If you're not tired of where you've been, you don't want to go to Jesus. Are you tired of dealing with what you're dealing with? Go to Jesus. It'd be fun. Somebody's probably done it before. How many people dread going to the doctor? And then after they actually go to the doctor, they find out, oh, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. It would be interesting just to see what the statistics are. Because sometimes we dread some things before we know what it's going to be like, and then after we're through, it's like, oh, well, that wasn't so bad. I test to you again. Is Jesus a liar? No, he's not a liar. So Jesus says, come to me, I will give you rest. Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So I can tell you this, if you go to Jesus, you're going to get rest. If you go to Jesus, you're going to find a light burden and an easy yoke. Go to Jesus, he doesn't lie. It's going to be better than what you got anyway. Or I'm going to rephrase it. What you have been struggling through ain't doing it, is it?
Nope.
Now, it's usually said sarcastically, but learn this listening on the radio. Somebody's telling you their problems and they told you their answers. They've been trying for the same umpteenth time. And you simply, the counselor says, how's that working out for you? That's a sarcastic question. We know why you called in to talk to the guy, because it ain't working out for you. But it's amazing how what ain't working out for us will stay in it rather than simply going to Jesus. Jesus says, I will give you rest. I will give you my yoke. I will give you my burden, and my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me appeal to you again. Serving Jesus ain't a pain. It doesn't come with a hangover. It doesn't come with a Pay up now or we expose you. It doesn't. He cares for you. He died for you. He paid your sin debt for you. So I ask again, are you tired? Are you tired of spinning your wheels round and round and catching no traction? When you come to Jesus, you're not coming to an idea. You're not coming to a principle. You're coming to the second person of the Godhead. You're coming to the one who took up human flesh, who humbled himself that he may suffer the cross for you. You're coming to a person, not simply an idea. Jesus, the person. He cares for you. Now I got a song running through my head. I paused too long. Is your burden heavy as you bear it all alone? Does the road you travel harbor dangers yet unknown? Reach out to Jesus. He's reaching out to you. Jesus says it here. Take my yoke upon you, which means put yours off, take his up. He's going to carry your care for you. You're coming to a person. You're not coming to an idea or a principle. But I want us to focus in with laser precision on what I haven't said yet. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you in verse 29 and learn of me. That word learn there, sometimes when it's referring to 12 specific guys in your Bible, is translated disciple. Because disciple means learner. So Andrew, Peter, James, John, Philip, Thomas, Matthew, all of, they were learners. Jesus said, come follow me, and they were to be his disciples, which means they sit at Jesus' feet and learn from him. Jesus says, are you heavy laden? Are you toiling? Come to me. Take my yoke upon you and be my disciple. Let me instruct you how to deal with what you're going through. Let me be your teacher. Because I know some of y'all, I know some of your teachers, it's been the radio. And now Sirius XM, for those of you who need it translated. Your playlist has been your teacher. You've been learning, you got friends in low places. I guess I need to update the song, but I mean I have to listen to the newer stuff, and I don't want to listen to the newer stuff, so I gotta listen. I gotta reflect on what I used to know back in the late 80s. You got friends in low places. That ain't cheering you up, bud. There's a tear in my beard because I'm crying for you, dear. That ain't cheering you up, bud. That's not even giving you a biblical perspective. None at all. That's why I'm sitting on the front porch staring down the road wondering if she'll come back this time. I don't know. And you tell me you're sad, I can tell you why you're sad. Right. It's what is teaching you. Amen. And then some of the... Man, we couldn't even repeat in church what some of the songs are saying today. And you wonder why the words come flowing off your lips then. Because it's teaching you. Be careful who you're learning from. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn from Jesus. Learn from the Master. Learn from the one who calms the storm. Learn from the one who feeds the 5,000. Can you imagine if 300 kids showed up tomorrow? Boy, there are going to be some of us praying, quick, Lord, you need to break some fishes and loaves, you know. We need some serious help. Oh. But doesn't he? Doesn't he? You notice the disciples didn't have 12 baskets when they started. They didn't get it until Jesus blessed it and then passed it out. They didn't have extra till it was done. They had to trust him. Learn from Jesus. It could be something as simple as this. Some of you need to learn to shut your mouth. I mean, just literally, just for all the wrong reasons. Now, Jesus didn't answer every question ever asked of him for the right reasons. But that teaches me there is wisdom sometimes in closing your mouth. And Proverbs tells us about that. Some of our problems are self-inflicted. Learn from Jesus. Jesus wasn't worried about a house. As far as we know, Jesus didn't have a house. Well, he grew up in a house. We know that because the wise men came to the house where he was. But as an itinerant rabbi traveling around teaching, Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He was always sending the disciples, go get us something to eat. My goodness, he wasn't worried about what he was going to eat. And contrary to a movie that some of you watch, Matthew did not disciple Jesus on what to wear or the women on what to wear so that when he preached the Sermon on the Mount, they would pay attention to him. Jesus wasn't concerned about what he wore. Now, this doesn't mean Jesus wore rags, but it means it was not of a major concern what you would put on. Don't worry about what you will eat. Don't worry about what you will drink. Don't worry about what you will put on. I seem to remember Jesus teaching us that. Well, you know he did in the Sermon on the Mount. Learn from him. Learn from him. Unlike sin, Jesus is concerned about you. Unlike sin, Jesus wants to see you successful in your walk with him. Will you take off your burden and your yoke and take up Jesus's? So somebody needs to really ask the question, well, what is Jesus's yoke then? And Brother Luke, tell me before I decide whether I want what he got versus what I got, right? I mean, that's a fair question. What does it mean? What is his yoke? Jesus says in John 6:38, I'm here to do the will of my Father. That's his yoke, to do the Father's will. And the Father's will for him was to leave heaven, to take up flesh, and to die. Doesn't sound very fun, does it? But he lives now, never dying again. I mean, doesn't that mean he overcame? Yes. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell to undergo corruption. And God kept his word. Sin won't keep its word to you. I'm telling you, the moment sin tells you, nobody will ever know. The older crowd in here, you ought to be able at least to say, boy, that's right. Sin will tell you nobody will ever know, and then everybody finds out. Accidentally. As a teenager, you were never shocked that your parents found out some way through the grapevine what you did before you even got home? And sin's like that. Sin will promise you prosperity. And then it takes everything you got. It'll promise you life, and yet it feels like death when you wake up in the morning. Jesus' yoke is easy. It is to do the will of his Father. Everything Jesus did was what he saw his Father doing. It stands to reason then, if you're learning from Jesus, you will learn what the Father desires of you. And the Father sent Jesus because he loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He's a loving God. He is a faithful God. His yoke is to do the will of his Father. And I think that's where so many people run into conflict. Because you'd rather do what yourself wants to do rather than what the Father wants you to do. Can I buy an amen? Is this like, was it Wheel of Fortune? Yeah, spin it and buy an amen. That's why we don't like the will of the Father sometimes, because it means I got to quit doing what I want to do and I got to do what he wants me to do. That means I set anger aside. That may mean I may need to set grief aside, because he doesn't want you in grief. He wants you in rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the last half, those of you who have been here on Sunday nights, the things that Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church about the dead in Christ was to encourage them so that they didn't grieve as those who had no hope, but so that they had grieved knowing this: my loved ones who have died in faith in Christ, they're alive right now with Him. When Jesus comes back, He's going to give them a new body, and I get to go join them in the air and be so ever with the Lord forever. That's encouragement. Very much so. Oh, but if I'm sad and upset, people will pat me on the back. Give me the eternal any day of the week, right? If you could give me something right now and I never have to buy food again, I would. Jesus says, you drink from me and you'll never thirst again. Right? And even within that, by faith, I know when I have drank the water that Jesus offers me. There is no need for another Savior. There is no other Savior. There is no need for a new profession of faith, because the water that Jesus gives saves eternally. Let's be party poopers. Somebody's having a bad day. Let's just start talking about all the joys that are ours in Christ. Hey, really? Let's talk about the joys that are ours in Christ. Because what has happened is we've gotten our eyes off of Jesus. We've got our eyes on self, and we'd rather pick up that yoke of self, which we cannot bear, rather than keep His on. I may be slogging through a tough battle, but I've got my eyes on the finish line. Even as the writer of Hebrews tells us, Jesus, who for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame. He kept His eyes on the finish line because He knew what was coming. There was a whole lot of us coming behind Him, because through His gift and sacrifice, He has saved us from our sins, and we're coming along behind Him to meet Him there as well. My goodness! What I'm going through is temporary. What I'm facing is temporary. I've got joy eternal waiting for me. Learn from Jesus. Take His yoke up. And I think if this idea that if death can't conquer Jesus ever really just permeates every fiber of our being, death is not going to trouble us. In fact, if I said, I got a bus of death out there, who's going with me? I wouldn't have a big enough bus. Everybody like, take me to heaven, Brother Luke, I'm ready to go. And not because the world's bad, I'm ready to go see Jesus. I'm serious. I want to go see Jesus. I want to go see the one whose yoke I'm wearing. I was thinking about it just this week again. Now I got a song running through my head. It hasn't left since Tuesday. I can see the hand of the Father, and Mark knows what I'm talking about, because, man, that song is just blasting through my brain. We're driving along, and I'm looking at the trees and the birds, and there's even seagulls, although we should call them low gulls because they're in the Lowe's parking lot. So I learned this morning that there are seagulls, there are bay gulls, because they don't hang around the sing, they hang around bays. And then there are, I guess, low gulls, because they hang around the Lowe's store. So I'm looking at that, and I begin to think differently, because I'm like, man, just looking at the trees on the way over, there's so many different ones even here in South Louisiana. And the color that they're giving off right now, people have care took them in there. They're doing well. That's just a few little things. And then I got to thinking about the birds. I was pulling out of the post office and I saw a cardinal. You know, the red bird. The one that just comes and goes here, right? It's just part of our life. You know, there are people in other parts of our country, they love seeing red birds. They're fascinated when they see the cardinal. Like I'm fascinating when I see the indigo bunting. Oh my goodness, if I lived in Arkansas, I could see them around the mountains all the time. When we consider all that He has done, I can see the hand of the Father. It is there. But we are so caught up in ourself. Sometimes we're so caught up in sin. we miss the joy of the Christian walk with Christ. Jesus says, are you laboring? Are you tired? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Come to me. We're not asking you to come to a principle or come to a statement. Come to the person of Jesus who cares for you. Lay your burden down. He's going to refresh you. Take His yoke upon you. That yoke may mean forgive. You were hoping I wouldn't say that word before we got out this morning. That yoke may mean you got to forgive. That yoke may mean that you got to go ask somebody to forgive you. Because you've just been feeling, oh, I can't believe I did that. Can't believe I did that. Just go to them. Tell them you're sorry. Ask them to forgive you. At least be refreshed from that burden. Go to Jesus. Learn from Him. He is not arrogant. He is not proud. He's meek and lowly in heart. He's humble. I like to think of it sometimes in this way. I go to Jesus and everything gets quiet. And everything gets still. All of the tension just melts away. And it's just kind of like, He's going to give you refreshment. Now, as I said at the outset, I can't make you. I can plead with you. I can tell you about it. Go to Him. Told you before, one of the most humbling things I ever learned is the sun doesn't come up or go down because of me. I mean that. When I learned life goes on, doesn't matter if I'm tied up in a box and about to blow a spring, the sun's coming up and going down irrespective of whether I'm alive or dead. That's humbling. But the biblical truth is that even in that, Jesus still cares for me. He wants me to know I'm important to Him. He loved me so much He died for me. That's pretty amazing and pretty awesome. To be able to go to Him and say, here's my burdens. I'm tired. I can't. I haven't been able to. Let me have from You what I can. Let me have from You what will make me go, this is so much better. And ultimately, as it deals not only with our walk with Him, you can strive all you want to save yourself, but you're never going to be successful. We're saved by grace through faith. That even's from Him. It's a gift of God, but not by works. We're not saved by what we do. We're saved by what Jesus did. You can struggle and toil all you want. You'll never be successful. But if you take up Jesus' yoke, He says, my yoke is light, my burden's easy. Are you tired? Why don't you lay it down at Jesus' feet? And even the week coming up, I'm going to go ahead and lay it down at Jesus' feet because I don't know about you, but the idea of having 150 kids in here has got me panicked inside. We've never had 150 kids. I can see the end of it and see how exciting this is going to be. But guess what? If we're doing what He wants us to do, that's His burden to bear, not mine. Just do what I'm called to do.
That's right.
Trust Him tomorrow. I'm excited. I mean, you even stepping out, you're going to be a helper with the kids. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
I am too.
But He's going to provide everything we need. Going to provide everything we need. And when I can watch the sun go down, knowing it's going to come up with His provision, man, I can rest tonight.
Amen.
I can rest tonight. Take Jesus' yoke up. Take Jesus' burden up. What does the Scripture say? Taste and see if the Lord is good. See if what He's offering you isn't better than what the world's been giving you. He gives life. the world brings death and destruction. There is no name above the name of Jesus. And it's at the person and through the name of Jesus we bow before Him.